Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today, maybe you're feeling shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com. We can answer those questions over the air. If you want to tweet your questions to us, you can find us at Dr. Tortora. So go to twitter.com/DRTORTORA, at Dr. Tortora on Twitter, and tweet us your questions. We can answer those in coming weeks. Look us up on the web while you're online, www.hawaiianeye.com, and of course, Facebook, Hawaiian Eye Center, is a good place to go. So all these Hawaiian Eye references, you should be able to find us somewhere out there. During the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ, and we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. That's Dr. Stephen Ree, Dr. William Perryman, and Dr. Nancy Lundblatt. We're going to talk about eye care. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. Now we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, I can't see through the telephone, so I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. Hawaiian Eye Center does sponsor our program today as a public service. So sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. We like to talk about some of the things that have gone on in the office in the past week or so. And there was a kind of a unfortunate and difficult case of someone who was cleaning around the house and was pouring chemicals together in the cleaning the bathroom, and got some Clorox splashed in her eye. And the Clorox, unfortunately, is very toxic to the surface of the eye, and it can cause actually serious damage to the surface of the eye if not treated properly immediately after the splash occurs. And so, but fortunately, the patient was aware, and as soon as the Clorox splashed into the eye and she started feeling burning in the eye, she immediately started rinsing her eye out with water. And basically, anytime you get any kind of toxic substance in the eye, that's the first and most important thing you can do, is basically wash out your eye with as much as possible, much liquid as possible, preferably water, but any liquid that is at hand that you could drink, you could also use to wash out your eye. I guess I'd probably avoid if it was like vodka or something. But if you have water, if you have milk, if you have soda, all of those things could be used to wash out your eye in the event of a toxic injury to the eye, because basically what you want to do is dilute the effect of the toxin to the surface of the eye, and so that before it can do damage to the surface of the eye. When we talk about toxic materials that come in contact with the surface of the eye, there are two main categories that these fall into. There are acids and there are alkali materials. So the acid materials, because acid can burn, particularly burn skin and other tissue, the acid can create a burn on the surface of the eye, which can be difficult to, you know, which can take a while to heal. Fortunately, acid burns, unless they're very severe, do heal fairly well. So a little bit of acid in the eye is a bad thing, but it is not a horrible thing. I know that I know people that have swimming pools who use muriatic acid or hydrochloric acid to change the pH of their swimming pool, and you need to be very careful when you use that stuff that even the fumes don't go in your eyes, because they can be irritating to the eyes as well. And so the any acid splashed in the eye, particularly a strong acid like muriatic acid, even vinegar, which is a weaker acid, can certainly cause some significant irritation to the eyes and perhaps even a chemical burn on the surface of the eye. And this needs to be treated by an eye specialist. Alkali burns are even worse. Clorox, Drano, some of these alkali materials that we find around the house on a regular basis can also cause very severe burns to the surface of the eye, particularly when they come in contact with the eye for more than just a few seconds. And so getting to rinse your eye is a critical step in reducing the likelihood of a serious injury to your eye over time. The danger with these burns on the surface of the eye is that they do damage to the surface tissue. And so if there's just a little bit of splash, a couple of drops here or there, then usually it damages just certain portions of the eye and the eye is healthy enough to regenerate. If people get a severe burn, chemical burn on the surface of the eye, they can actually destroy all of the tissue that not only covers the surface of the eye, but also the tissue that creates the new cells, the new tissue to replace the damaged tissue. And so if you destroy what we call the stem cells, the limbal stem cells on the surface of the eye, then this makes it much more difficult for the surface of the eye to heal and becomes a much more difficult problem to treat. So early treatment, early intervention by diluting the toxic material in your eye is important. And this is a good time to remember things like this, because as we get into the holiday season and people start picking up their trees and decorating their trees and so on, they use materials like that white flocking material to make your tree look like it's snow-covered. That stuff comes out of a spray bottle, but that stuff can be very irritating and toxic to the surface of the eye. So you want to make sure that the spray bottle is pointing toward the tree and not toward your face, something that sounds, you know, kind of cute and easy. But in the old days, these spray bottles used to just have a cap that was not directional in any way, so you couldn't tell which way the spray was going to come out unless you looked carefully at the tip. And so it wasn't that difficult to spray it in your face instead of at whatever it is that you're spraying, whether it's bug spray or cleaning spray or any of these aerosol sprays. Many of them can be toxic to the surface of the eye, so something to be aware of and to look out for. The spray bottles nowadays are a little bit better designed. You can usually tell what direction the spray comes out in based on how the spray tip feels on your finger. Your finger fits more behind it than on top of it, and that helps to differentiate the direction in which that spray material is going to come out. We're going to take a short break for, and then we'll be right back with some more eye news and with your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Well, welcome back to the second segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. And we do have some open phone lines here now if you want to give us a call. As a matter of fact, we have Don standing by in Kaneohe who called in this morning. Hi, Don. Welcome to the program.
I'm sorry, Don.
I didn't put you on immediately. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Start from the beginning again.
Yeah, good morning, Doctor.
Morning.
Yeah, you were talking about, you know, if the eyes get damaged from chemicals and whatnot. Recently, there was an incident on campus on the college where campus police were spraying pepper spray, and it got onto the students and whatnot. If you get damage to your eyes from any kind of chemical and you wash it out and you see the doctor, what preventive, is there eye drops that you use to help the eye rejuvenate its tissue and whatnot?
Well, that's a good question. Basically, it depends on the severity of the injury and what we find when we look at you, and that's why it's important to see the doctor, because the treatment is kind of tailored to what the injury has actually done to the surface of your eye. So whether it's pepper spray or mace or tear gas, it is designed to be an irritant to the surface of the eye but not to do permanent damage to the eye.
Right.
I know there were reports of certain in other countries of a more potent tear gas being used in Egypt, for example, mm-hmm. and doing actually more damage to the eyes. But at least in this country, as far as I know, the tear gas and the pepper spray and so forth is mostly designed as an irritant rather than causing injury. So, yes, when you get that stuff in your eye, among other things, you want to rinse it out. That's the best initial treatment, and that's basically what we tell people, is that the first step should be to irrigate your eye with as much water or any other, liquid benign liquid like milk or soda or I don't know, whatever you have at hand to dilute the effects. And then the next step is we look at the eye and see what kind of injury the surface of the eye has sustained. If it looks like there's just some minor injuries and the surface needs to heal or regenerate, the treatment may be something as simple as just using some lubricant drops or artificial tear drops
right.
to help the surface be more comfortable, to soothe it and to allow it to heal. If it looks like there's serious damage to the surface of the eye, other types of drops may be helpful. In some cases, surgery is necessary to kind of protect the surface of the eye as it's healing. There may be, in the case of a severe alkali burn, there may be glaucoma or high pressure in the eye as well, which can be a side effect of a chemical burn. And so that needs to be treated with eye drops as well. So the treatment really depends on what we find when we evaluate the eyes. In many cases, it just is a matter of keeping the eye comfortable while it naturally heals.
So eventually, if you're dealing with a lot of chemicals like Clorox, when I should wear some kind of glasses or whatever, shield over your face probably. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great idea whenever you're working around the house with any type of chemicals or any type of a machine that creates high-speed projectiles coming from the machine, like grinding or drilling or any power tool, sanding, exactly, then that would be a good time to wear your safety glasses.
And, right.
And you can basically get safety glasses at hardware stores, at drug stores, other places that are designed to meet the standards for safety and that the government has put out. And so basically what you want to do is you want to look for safety glasses that are stamped with usually it's on the side of the glasses or on the temple. It says ANZI. I believe it says 81 or something. And so I'm not sure. So you can usually find something that's protective like that. Some people, when they're doing grinding, they like to put on not only safety glasses but put on a hood or a face shield as well.
Yeah, I get a hard time when I'm cutting onions. My eyes just get watery and it's irritated sometimes from that, but I guess because of the eye injury one. Yeah. Anyway, thanks a lot, Doc.
Okay.
Have a good morning.
All right. Have a good day. Aloha. So I guess the answer is that to his question, which was, are there any eye drops or anything that can be used, the answer is really it depends on what type of injury there is. So the answer is go see your eye specialist, and they will prescribe whatever drops or treatments are most likely to help the healing process. All right. Well, if you do want to reach us on the phones as well, the phone number here is 521-8383, and you can reach us here live at the studio and ask your question about eyes or eye care, eye treatment. In the meantime, we're going to talk about some eye news that has come up during the week. And there's actually an interesting little online exhibition that you may want to visit. You know, there's a lot of news stories about our troops and some of the actions that they're involved in around the world. And one of the things that you hear about are different types of injuries that the troops of any kind of combat mission experience. And you hear a lot about various types of injuries, but you may not hear too much about eye injuries. And there actually is an online exhibition that is now available, which is called The Eyes of War. And it says here that in honor of the 60th anniversary of VE Day on May 8, 1945, we explore the sacrifices of ophthalmologists as found in the museum's, this is the Museum of Vision, so the museum's Academy of Ophthalmology archives, as well as wartime innovations in eye care. This World War II spanned 6 years and involved 25 countries. Within this complex history is a story of eye care. Like in so many professions, the war shaped ophthalmology by creating the need for innovations in the industry, altering the course of institutions and interrupting the lives of individuals. So it says it's still difficult to definitively capture the number of deaths and casualties or to quantify destructions of property from war, and particularly the Second World War. However, it's estimated that 2.5% of all battle casualties suffered eye injuries, and about 15,000 soldiers were blinded during the Second World War. During battles, it took an average of 36 to 48 hours for an injured soldier to be seen by an eye specialist. And so this led to the advocacy of having eye specialists on the front lines, forward hospitals, improving support services to evacuate soldiers faster. So for those of you who might be interested in some historical observations about how eyes have been affected in wartime, particularly as noted in the Second World War, and how this influenced our way that we handle eye injuries in today's wars, you can go to the what they call Museum of Vision. So it's the museumofvision.org, no spaces, just museumofvision.org. And under the exhibitions, you can find this Eyes of War exhibition if that's something that you're interested in pursuing. A lot of military families here in Hawaii might be something interesting to look at from the standpoint of a historical basis. Okay, let's go back to the phones. We've got Jean standing by in Ainahaina. Hi, Jean. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and I really appreciate all the information you give to us every week. And I just wanted to ask you, I've been to my latest glaucoma testing, and they've been always been checking me because I have a strange-shaped optic nerve. You know, so it's been like I've been checked for the past 12 years, and I've never shown any inclinations of having any problems. But my latest test showed that although my eye pressure under the normal test was 14, which was excellent, even better than last year, that on the field test, they caught, a problem there, and they noticed that I have optic nerve damage, and I have been put on glaucoma watch, and I'm supposed to go in again this, you know, after 1 month. And I was wondering, because I always assumed that if you're going to be, you know, have glaucoma, your pressure would have to be high, and mine is excellent, the doctor said, the pressure, but still I have this damage, and I'm wondering if it couldn't be macular degeneration or something else.
No, it's not going to be macular degeneration or something else. A glaucoma can occur with pressure being high or pressure being normal. Just testing the pressure is not an adequate test to determine whether or not you have glaucoma. You need to test the function of the optic nerve as well, and that's tested through photographs, direct observation of the nerve, and testing how the nerve is working. And the way we test that is through the peripheral vision test. But one thing that I would caution you is that peripheral vision test can be abnormal for a wide number of reasons. It can be abnormal because, you know, something as simple as you're drowsy on the day that you're taking the test and you kind of, you know, zone out through some of the testing, and then the machine picks that up as a potential defect in your peripheral vision. So we can't really make a decision on whether to treat for glaucoma just based on one visual field test. Now, there may be other reasons that your doctor is concerned about glaucoma, the appearance of the nerve, the results of other tests that they might be doing. interesting, how things have looked over time. Just based on one visual field test, usually we wouldn't make a determination about, yes or no, we should initiate treatment for glaucoma. So usually what I would do in that situation is I would say, okay, well, we found this little abnormality. Everything else has been fine. Your pressure has been fine. So let's go ahead and retest the peripheral vision in a couple months, so that you have a chance to, do it again and see if we find that same type of change again. And oftentimes what we find is when we retest it, that it's back to normal, it's back to the baseline. And we say, okay, well, maybe that was just an anomaly that day. So it's certainly reasonable to retest that peripheral vision test. Most people hate that test, though, and so we don't like to put them through it more than we have to, but it is a good way of determining whether there is evidence of glaucoma or nerve damage over time.
You know, she also mentioned slight cupping of the optic nerve. What does that mean?
Well, you said your optic nerves have an abnormal appearance, and that's why you've been on glaucoma watch, right? So cupping is just a way that we describe the appearance of the nerve in people who have nerve changes that are suggestive of glaucoma. Cup is an anatomical structure inside the optic nerve itself, and we observe it physically by shining a light on it, looking through a lens at the back of the eye, and we observe the optic nerve, or we can take pictures of it, and based on those, we look at a number of different features, one of which we refer to as cupping. So it's basically just a term that we use to describe the changes in the optic nerve that occur. And sometimes we refer to people who have glaucoma or glaucoma appearing optic nerves as having more cupping in their optic nerve.
Doctor, do you have any other, office or something closer to town?
Our only office on Oahu at the moment is in Wahiawa, so it's probably maybe a little farther than you want to travel, but if you certainly wanted to come by for a second opinion for one or two visits, we're happy to see you in a company.
You get older, it's hard to drive that far.
Yeah.
That's one of our problems. Is there a doctor you would give a referral to here in town?
I think any of the ophthalmologists, the medical eye doctors, is good at diagnosing, treating, evaluating early glaucoma. And if you do have some, concerns, you could certainly seek out a second opinion. But I don't have any specific recommendations about specific people. Everyone that I know has a pretty good understanding of glaucoma and its implications. So if it's a medical eye doctor, an ophthalmologist who takes care of fair number of people with glaucoma. There are a few glaucoma specialists around in town and on the windward side and out on the leeward side where I am as well.
Okay. Thank you so much, Doctor.
All right. Aloha. Okay. All right. So glaucoma is one of those conditions that can kind of sneak up on you. You don't know you have it necessarily because it doesn't cause any symptoms in your eyes. But once you do have it, it can cause damage to the vision over time that you don't even realize is happening until it's too late to do anything about it. So definitely something that you need to check up on and follow up on if your doctor is concerned about that as a possibility. Okay, we're going to take a short break for the news.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio 830 KHVH.
It's 76 degrees, partly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton Dennis. Here's what's happening. Pakistan is blaming NATO for the deaths of 24 Pakistani soldiers. It says NATO helicopters and fighter jets fired on two army checkpoints in northwestern Pakistan early today. NATO says it's investigating, but it's highly likely that air support called in by Afghan and coalition support forces caused Pakistani casualties. At least 15 people have been killed in a string of explosions in Iraq. The blasts occurred at a Baghdad market and the capital's western outskirts. It's the second major attack on Iraqi civilians this week and comes as American forces prepare to pull out and hand over security responsibilities to Iraqi forces. Residents of the Waikiki Lanai's building on Lili'uo Kalani Avenue were evacuated shortly after a 518 fire alarm sounded. Several fire companies had the two-alarm fire under control shortly after 6 a.m. The fire was traced to a vehicle on the third floor of the building's parking garage. It also damaged at least two other cars. Residents were allowed back in the building after firefighters cleaned up a spilling fuel from the burnt car at about 7:45 a.m. Financial setbacks are grounding the stargazing ambitions of a Hawaii telescope's managers. The Netherlands is withdrawing its 20% partnership in the James Clerk Maxwell Telescope in early 2013. That means the Mauna Kea facility's managers are scrambling to find a new partner, draw more from its current partners, or trim its budget. Today's the day you can support your local economy. It's Small Business Saturday. You're encouraged to spend money with local retailers and boost the local economy. President Barack Obama says through events like Small Business Saturday, we keep our local communities strong. There's a wind advisory with gusts up to 50 miles an hour later today. High surf advisory for the east and north shores as well. Today, mostly sunny and windy with a high in the 80s. Tonight, mostly clear. Currently 75.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the Neighbor Islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. Here we are in the second half of the Hawaiian Eye Show, and we do have open phone lines. If you want to give us a call, our phone number here is 521-8383. And we're happy to take your calls. The Neighbor Island people who are listening, or if you're listening on the iHeartRadio app somewhere outside of Hawaii on the mainland, you can call us toll-free. Toll-free number is 888-565-8383. So here on Oahu, 521-8383, you can call us and ask any questions you might have about the eyes. I wanted to talk a little bit about the a new drug that has been approved now by the Food and Drug Administration, which is promising to help people who have age-related macular degeneration. As you may have heard in the past on this program, there are a number of injectable drugs that can be injected into the eye to treat macular degeneration, and these injections need to be done on an ongoing basis quite frequently, once a month or so. And so that means you have to be not only visiting the doctor's office frequently, but also a lot of waiting around and injections in the eye, which are not uncomfortable, but they are some small risk associated with them. And one of the goals of treatment has been to get the same type of effect on what we call wet macular degeneration without having to do these injections quite as frequently. And now there is a new medication that has been approved that does just this. It says the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved aflibercept, an ophthalmic solution, which is being called Eylea, and it's made by Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, for the treatment of wet age-related macular degeneration. Eylea is an important new treatment option for adults with wet AMD, said Edward Cox, MD, director of the Office of Antimicrobial Products in the Food and Drug Administration's Center for Drug Evaluation and Research. It is a potentially blinding disease, and the availability of new treatment options is important. The recommended dose is 2 milligrams every 4 weeks for the first 12 weeks, followed by 2 milligrams every 8 weeks or every 2 months, according to a news release from the manufacturer. The company plans to make the drug available to patients within the next few days. In August, the Food and Drug Administration pushed back its target date for completing reviews of this drug. According to the manufacturer, they need more time to review recent responses, and so now it has finally been approved, and the approval follows a unanimous recommendation for approval by the Food and Drug Administration's Dermatologic and Ophthalmic Drugs Advisory Committee. So this new medication, the advantage of it seems to be that it can be used half as often after the initial few doses. So you can still needs to be done once a month for 12 weeks, which is, about 3 doses. And then after that, it can be every 2 months. And so this is a significant advantage because it's half as often that these injections need to be done compared with the equivalent drugs, which are currently being used for these types of treatments. It says this medication, a Fibrocept, an injectable drug, is a highly potent blocker of vascular endothelial growth factor, VEGF or VEGF, and placental growth factor. VEGF's normal role is to trigger formation of new blood vessels supporting growth of body tissues, but in macular degeneration, it's also associated with growth of abnormal new blood vessels in the eye that exhibit permeability of the blood vessels and lead to swelling inside the eye. So Philip Rosenfeld, MD, who's a professor of ophthalmology at Bascom-Palmer Eye Institute in Miami, Florida, commented, "I don't anticipate better visual acuity outcomes compared with the current medications available, just fewer visits and fewer injections. If it can decrease the need for treatment, then it'll be a win-win for patients and clinicians." Okay, so this is the new medication, new drug that's available now from the from manufacturers in order to, and now it's been approved by the Food and Drug Administration in order to treat the wet variety of macular degeneration. We do have, they do have a little bit more information on this article here. So it says that that it'll give us another effective drug. It's kind of a commentary from one of the doctors of the American Academy of Ophthalmology, and they said, of course, we need to be looking for, continuing to look for new drugs and more effective drugs over time, but as an adjunct to what was currently available, this drug is an advance. It is a step forward. So that's good news. So for people with macular degeneration, basically what you need to know about macular degeneration is it's more common in people over age 60, so usually referred to as age-related macular degeneration. As you get older, the risk of macular degeneration increases. People in their 80s and 90s have a higher risk than people in their 60s and 50s. And macular degeneration also tends to affect people with fairer colored skin and lighter colored eyes. Particularly if you spent time in the sun, the ultraviolet damage from the sun over the years seems to play a role in the progression of macular degeneration as well. So macular degeneration affects your central vision. If you have macular degeneration, it means that the central straight-ahead vision is compromised, is limited, because of damage to the tissue there inside the back of the eye, and it can take two forms. You have wet macular degeneration and dry macular degeneration. Wet and dry are just descriptive terms. Wet basically means that there's bleeding or abnormal blood vessels forming, and dry means that there's no evidence of blood or abnormal blood vessels, but just a degenerative process affecting the tissue. If you have macular degeneration and it robs you of your central vision, you're not going to go completely blind, but it is difficult to function with advanced macular degeneration because the central vision is so poor that it makes it hard to do many of the tasks that we do on a daily basis and that we kind of take for granted. Things like reading, driving, seeing, recognizing people's faces, looking at the hands of a clock or a watch, all of these things that require central vision or good clear central vision become impossible with the loss of the central vision from macular degeneration. So it is a very debilitating disease when it affects both eyes, and any treatment options are certainly very welcome into the armamentarium of what we're able to do as eye specialists. In the case of wet macular degeneration, these abnormal blood vessels grow into the back of the eye, into the macula, and they create a situation where swelling occurs inside the back of the eye, and and that these blood vessels can bleed and the blood can cause damage to the structures, the tissue inside the eyes. And so these abnormal blood vessels are not something that you want there. So you want to prevent them from growing or progressing. And the way to do that is currently is to use these medications that reduce the stimulation of the growth of new abnormal blood vessels. So the VEGF or vascular endothelial growth factor is a hormone or a chemical that circulates within our bloodstream that promotes the growth of these blood vessels, which is useful in certain situations with the healing of our bodies. But in the case of the eyes, it's not a good thing. And so if we can counteract the effects of this VEGF or vascular endothelial growth factor, then that helps to reduce the likelihood that these abnormal blood vessels will form and thus damage the structures inside the eye. So treatment currently of wet macular degeneration is aimed at trying to block the development of abnormal blood vessels that then cause damage to the eye and to the vision. And so we've been somewhat successful in doing this with this new class of drugs. And this new drug, this Eylea, is another way of approaching the same problem and hopefully reducing the frequency of treatments that people need over time, because it's a longer acting, longer lasting medication. So it's was shown to be more or less equivalent to the current standard of care out there in the same field. No huge advantage in terms of how effectively it treats it, but an advantage in terms of how frequently it can be dosed. And of course, everyone is a little bit different, so some people respond to one medication but not to another. So having additional medications out there that are available for treating this type of thing certainly is an advantage and helps out. So good news about the approval by the Food and Drug Administration of this new drug for macular degeneration. We have another news story here about cataract surgery in patients who have macular degeneration. So now that there have been new studies, patients who have macular degeneration being treated with some of these medications for treatment of the wet AMD, wet macular degeneration, they've been able to also look at what effect other types of interventions or treatments have on these patients. And one of the questions that has come up repeatedly is, if someone has a cataract and also has macular degeneration, should that cataract be treated or removed, or is that going to cause, you know, other types of problems that may interfere with the macular degeneration or make the macular degeneration worse in some way? So we're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we'll get you the answer to that question. What have studies shown about the role of cataract surgery in patients who have macular degeneration? As soon as we get back from this short break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Bright girl.
All right, here we are in the last segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. If you want to reach us here on the show, it's 521-8383. That's the number to call. And we're happy to take your calls and answer your questions. We were talking about macular degeneration, wet macular degeneration, and whether removing a cataract is helpful. There was some thought several years ago and prior that treating a cataract or removing a cataract in someone who had active wet macular degeneration might make the macular degeneration worse and thus not improve the patient's overall vision function when they had a cataract. And so there actually was a study done with some of the patients who were being treated for wet macular degeneration with some of these newer drugs. It says here, cataract surgery appears beneficial for patients with wet macular degeneration. It says a retrospective analysis evaluated visual outcomes after cataract surgery in patients with wet macular degeneration receiving monthly doses of medication injections inside the eye as part of ongoing trials for these medications. They evaluated treated eyes, fellow eyes, and eyes of non-treated patients. At 3 months postoperatively, visual acuity improved by a significant amount in the patients who were treated, and a similar improvement was also seen in the other two groups of people who weren't treated and people who were given different treatments. So it turns out that treating the cataract in people who have the wet variety of macular degeneration did actually help, did actually benefit them, and that's actually good news, because removing a cataract is one thing that we can do that may improve the vision a little bit in people who have other conditions affecting their eyes, affecting their vision, like macular degeneration. So if you have macular degeneration and a cataract as well, there is a good chance that we can improve your vision a little bit at least by dealing with the cataract portion of it and, of course, continuing to address the macular degeneration. In many macular degeneration patients, particularly people who have dry macular degeneration or certain patients with the wet variety, it is difficult to treat, and treatment is basically aimed at trying to stabilize the condition rather than improving the condition. So it's another one of those things that it's a good idea to get screened for and checked for regularly to make sure that there's not some new problem occurring, which can be treated earlier rather than waiting. The earlier we get the treatment going, the more likely it is to be helpful. In the case of macular degeneration, early symptoms include distortion of the central vision. Now, how are you going to pick up that your central vision is distorted? Well, you may not notice too much, particularly if it's only in one eye. But if you do a little test on your own, this is a good way of picking up early distortion in the macula, which could represent macular degeneration or some other condition affecting the central part of the vision. So if you close one eye, look one eye at a time, and you look at a straight edge like the frame of a door or the edge of a computer monitor or something that's a straight edge, and you look, it should look straight. But if you see it looking a little bit wavy or a little bit cloudy, or distorted in some way, then that's going to suggest that there's something going on that's distorting the vision, central vision, and that usually means something going on in the macula. So if you see this with one eye or both eyes, distortion of the central vision, the straight lines looking wavy or curvy or uneven or slanted, then that's a good indication that you want to get your eyes checked out to make sure that there isn't some form of early macular degeneration or other type of a retinal problem affecting your vision. Well, we do have open phone lines, and if you want to reach us here, 521-8383 is the number to call, and we're happy to take your calls and answer your questions if we can. And we do also, if you're interested in some of the things that you've heard about here on the Hawaiian Eye Show, you can find it by looking for me on Twitter. You can find me at twitter.com/Dr. Tortora. Or as they say in Twitter lingo, at Dr. Tortora, that's D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A. And some of the links to a few of the articles and other things that we've talked about in today's program are going to be there for you, and so that you can look for them. So follow us on Twitter. You'll get access to some of this information even when you're not listening to me on the radio. And on Facebook, we do note some interesting things of note in the iNews field as well. So go find us on Facebook. Send the link to your friends. Like us on Facebook, and you'll get information about eyes and about any special deals that we might have going on at the Hawaiian Eye Center. Let's go to the phones. We've got John standing by in Honolulu. Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning. I just got in the middle of your program, and I just caught something. You were talking about a new drug for wet macular degeneration. I have a relative in Europe who has that, and I was wondering what that drug was. I didn't catch the name of it. I just...
Okay, well, the drug is called Afibercept, and it's actually going by the trade name Eylea.
I believe.
That's how it's spelled. And they and I'm not sure whether it's been approved in Europe yet, but it was just approved here by our own Food and Drug Administration here. It is an injectable drug like many of the other medications that are currently available to treat macular degeneration, so it needs to be placed in the eye through an injection on an ongoing basis, but it does offer some advantages in terms of less frequent dosing.
Is it any better in terms of reducing the condition than the others, or just the fact that you use it less?
Yeah, basically you use it less. It wasn't shown to be superior in any major way to the current existing medications.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Doctor. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. All right, so if you want to reach us here on the phone, 521-8383 is the number to call. Other people have reached us by email and have some questions here in the mailbag, so let's get to one of those. We haven't pulled out the mailbag for a while. It says here, one of my eyes looks bigger than the other. It's only changed recently. What causes this? Okay, well, one eye looks bigger than the other. Well, it's probably not that the eye itself is bigger, because the eye doesn't really grow or shrink in size, but usually what causes the appearance that the eye is bigger or smaller is that the eyelid either is more droopy, which makes the eye look smaller, or is more widely open, which makes the eye look larger. There are a few things that can affect both conditions. The most common thing that people come in saying, my eye looks smaller, is because they have a drooping of the eyelid, what's called ptosis. Ptosis is one of those words that starts like it sounds like it starts with a T, but it actually starts with a P. So P-T-O-S-I-S, ptosis, or ptosis, if you wanted to pronounce the T, but that's the P, but that's not how we say it. It's called ptosis. So ptosis is a condition where one lid starts to droop. Ptosis can be caused by a number of conditions. It can be caused by weakness of the nerves that cause the eye that supply the muscles that keep the eyelids up. If you suddenly have a weakness in one of the nerves, that could be an indication of a more serious problem affecting the nerves in general or other parts of the body. So that's something that definitely needs to be checked out. If you suddenly wake up one morning and your eyelid is drooping down, that's something that needs to be addressed, and you need to see the doctor to check that out. Other things that can cause the lid to droop a little bit are just aging changes. Sometimes people come in and say, you know, it's kind of been a little gradual, but I've noticed that this eye seems to be smaller than the other one, or the lid seems to be drooping a bit more, and I notice that they have extra skin hanging down over the eyelid. That extra skin with age, that the effects of gravity over time pull down the skin of the upper lid, create a little bit more appearance that the eye looks smaller because the skin is heavier and it's drooping, is pulling down the eyelid a little bit, and we call this dermatocalasis. And this is a skin, basically extra skin, hanging down over the eyelid and making the eye in some cases look smaller or droopy on that side. Things that can make your eye look more wide open are things like thyroid disease. In someone who has a thyroid condition, often the eyes look more prominent. People can look bug-eyed, and because of the eyes looking more prominent, what's happening here is the lids are actually retracted. The eyelids are actually pulled back so that more of the eye is visible. So that makes the eye look larger, more prominent, more bug-eyed, and so, if you will. So the prominence of the eyes may be caused by a thyroid type of condition. Other things that can cause drooping of the lid, making the eye look smaller, is chronic irritation of the surface of the eye. If someone has a scratch or an eyelid or eyelash rubbing against the surface of the eye or something else which is irritating the eye, that can the lid can droop a little bit to try to sort of protect or cover the eye to create a more a situation where the eye is looking a little bit more droopy or small, and that can sometimes be confused with the eye looking a little bit smaller. In kids and babies, if one eye looks larger than the other, this can be a sign of a more serious problem. In newborn babies, sometimes they develop something called congenital glaucoma, where the pressure in the eye goes up at a very early age, and because the eye is very soft and flexible at that age, congenital glaucoma can cause the eye to become enlarged. And so an enlarged eye in congenital glaucoma can actually be a sign of something quite dangerous that requires treatment. So something that if you see that in a child or in a newborn or the eyes look different, then that's something that definitely should be addressed by an eye specialist. Okay, we've been here now for an hour talking about eyes and eye care, and I've certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank Andrea for helping out here in the studio, and I'd like to say thanks to all you listeners for making the show work through your calls and through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us, and if you learned something new, listen again next week. You can always follow us on Twitter during the week at twitter.com/Dr. Tortora. Or go to Facebook, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center, and then find out what we're up to and what kinds of eye news we're posting during the week. If you have a question, you can always email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air. Don't forget to check out our website at www.hawaiianeye.com. It's sure been a pleasure talking with you. I'll keep my eyes peeled for you, and I hope you'll keep an eye out for us. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with offices in central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. Thanks for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to The Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.